B-Pod Studios.
Get the app.
Check this out.
Get Boston's home for sports at your fingertips. Listen live or download a podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
91-89. 7 on the shot clock, 104 on the game clock. Bogdanovich against Horford, switches to the left hand, drives, cradles the ball. Horford stays with him and blocks the shot clean. Jaylen Brown up the left side, has a step on Collison. He's going to take it all the way. Kick to the corner for a Tatum three.
Oh, bang.
Spectacular. Horford's defense, Jaylen Brown's drive, and Tatum's shot. And the Celtics have the lead with 44 seconds to go in game two.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ow! Be all right.
Nikki Sixx, baby. How many strippers love Nikki Sixx? I mean, it's like insanity. Still to this day.
Nikki Sixx?
Oh, the strippers love Nikki Sixx. Out of all the rock stars, I think, ever, Nikki Sixx, for a particular type of girl, is the most sought after.
There's a guy I know who just started dressing like him. Changed his last name.
The Sixx. I know him too. Smelled great. All right. Let me tell you this. It's the president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, is going to join us right now. It's he's joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And Danny Ainge, hello. Congratulations.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Yeah. You got to be doing quite well. Getting out of town with two wins.
Yeah, no, it's good. Big win by the Bruins last night, too.
Yeah, that was... that one was not fun because... hockey playoffs and basketball playoffs are a little bit different. Because basketball, you know, you get a guy like Kyrie Irving and he can take over a game. In hockey, like, the wall can take over a game. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like a puck can hit a wall and then everything goes to hell. So, last night was a gut-wrencher a little bit last night.
Yeah, I understand. The Celtics was a little bit of a gut-wrencher too last night. There was some serious doubt as to whether we'd win that game last night. A lot of good performances.
It's interesting, too, how you guys have made up for the lack of Marcus Smart. And I think it was the second half of game two that you really saw a concerted effort defensively for almost trying to... It was almost as if Brad Stevens had to remind them, guys, Marcus Smart's not going to come out here and save you with physicality. You guys are going to have to do it yourself. Are you pleased in the way that they've responded and they've kind of tried to capture that attitude over the last night and the second half of the first game?
Yeah, I mean, I think I say this word all the time, but I feel like the resolve is just better. Like, there's been times in this year when things haven't gone well and we haven't been making shots and, you know, the momentum's going the other way and we just don't have that fight to get back in it. But we've just had multiple efforts of, you know, regroup, come back out. Okay, they're making tough shots. Okay, keep coming back and we got to keep making shots. And last night it was just, it was a battle and they made a lot of good shots. Our defense was pretty dang good and they were making some tough shots. And, you know, finally we got on a nice little run in the fourth quarter with Kyrie resting, which was huge. Terry led the group that brought us back, Al Horford. And then Kyrie and Jason and Gordon and those guys were able to come in and finish the game.
Specifically, could you talk about Kyrie's performance, not in the fourth quarter because he was resting and then helped you cross the finish line, but in the third quarter when you guys were really struggling, Kyrie Irving took over the game and kept you within shouting distance?
I mean, he was amazing from the beginning of the game. He's just a very special player. I mean, there's just not that many players in the league that can do what he did last night. And, you know, his offense is obvious, the difficult shots that he made and keeping us in the game. But he had some really good defensive possessions as well and, you know, took a big charge in transition. And, you know, I like how our team is playing. I like the individual sacrifices guys are making just to win. And And it's been fun to watch these first two games.
Is there part of you after last night's game that took a little pleasure in thinking back to all the people who were saying this team is better without Kyrie Irving?
I mean, I never really. I mean, that's just such a silly thing to say. That it makes no sense at all. I've never understood it, and I never will. And those are just weird things that happen. And I don't know why people say that. They get so caught up in a game here and a game there. I mean, everybody knows that, you know, Kyrie's greatest moments are, you know, second halves of playoff games on the road that normal players can't do. And that's the difference between the great ones and, in those types of moments.
Well, I mean, it was playoff Kyrie. I mean, we definitely saw that yesterday. There was one brief moment, and I don't even think it was a big deal. But just to clarify, Kyrie and Brad Stevens had some, looked like a small heated exchange near the bench last night. Do you have any idea what that was over?
I don't, but I like that. That's good. Those are good things to have happen. And I think that, you know, confrontation, getting guys focused, having a little bit of discussion, whether it's a heated discussion or not, I think that's all good. I think that those are good things. And obviously it worked well. Obviously, you know, Kyrie and Brad were both, you know, competing very hard last night. And it means a lot to both of them. And they both know and respect one another that they know that all they're trying to do is get everybody on the same page and winning is all that matters.
So last Thursday, Danny, was kind of a strange day because it sounds like, according to reports, and even you when you're on our show, you didn't fear that much from Marcus Smart and his injury. And then later on that afternoon, it looks like there were some doctor's results that came back. And
you lied to us.
I would like to think you just didn't have access to the information.
No, it was a filthy lie.
But so what? Where do we stand now? And kind of what happened on Thursday? And what did the doctors tell you? And from what you've seen from him, where does everything stand with his return?
So, yeah. I mean, it seemed like watching the injury happen, I watched it a few times, and it seemed like he just got bumped. I mean, Vucevic just, you know, hip checked him, and it just looked like a bruised hip pointer. And when he went back in the game and then had the reaction that he did, just running up the court one time, that he had that reaction, he fell to the ground in pain. I mean, I've had those hip pointers, and those are very, very painful. And that's just what everybody thought it was. And it was a little bit too sore to get any imaging done on it at that point. There was no reason to think that it was anything more. But before a player would go out on the court, we will always do imaging if he's had an injury like that. And anyway, when we got the imaging back Thursday afternoon, it was, oh, no, there's a tear in the oblique muscle. And that was bad news for us. And, yeah, you know, guys have stepped up and filled in for Marcus. But, you know, in order for us to go where we need to, we need Marcus. And you know, we're hoping he can get healthy in a hurry. But, you know, I don't think he's very close to being healthy right now at this moment. And we're just hoping for him to get back as soon as he can.
Yeah, he was saying some scary stuff the other day about it was the first time he could walk without pain. And he said anytime he coughs or like laughs, it just it sounds fairly grim. And do you think that the prediction that he would be back after a second series, if that happens, if the Celtics end up making the Eastern Conference Finals, do you think that prediction is accurate, knowing what you know now, or too short or too long?
I don't know. I think it's fairly accurate. I think that it's realistic to think of that. Yeah, we're hopeful.
Well, okay. If it hurts when he laughs, keep him away from this show. You know? Because he's going to be double over in pain. Because we bring it every morning, Danny.
We bring the yucks, Danny. if you haven't heard so far. Horford, how's he doing? We heard that he might have had I know he was sick. What's he got?
Yeah, he just had a flu bug. I think he was for about 36 or 48 hours, he was not in practice and was on IVs at the hospital trying to get right and get fluids back in his body. If he deemed himself okay to play last night, thank goodness. He was huge for us down the stretch and had a big game late for us last night to close that game out.
Okay, so what was your most miserable experience playing with the flu or having some sort of sickness on the court?
I just remember having like 103 temperature and playing, and you know, it was just miserable the whole game. Didn't play terrible, but didn't play great. At the end of the game, wondered if it was better for me to have played or not, if I helped the team or not. But you know, like, I think we've all played with a bad sickness, and I guess it can go either way. But I've also played very good games when I was sick, and you know, it's just what you can do. If you think you can go out there and actually help your team win, then you should try to play.
What kind of actions does the team take to make sure that he doesn't get everyone else sick? Because, I mean, you obviously want him on the court. You guys are knocking around. I mean, they're going to run into each other, and fluids are probably going to fly everywhere. What do you guys do pregame, postgame, traveling to make sure that the other people don't get sick?
Yeah, I mean, we try to quarantine guys in the airplane when they have sick. We stick them in the far back of the plane. We stick them next to Gorman and Scalabrine and those guys.
Yeah. Well, Scal's impervious to the flu because he works out three times a day like a maniac.
Well, that's good.
Gorman's an old man.
It's me. But usually we try to keep them away from the facility and you know, see them at home and have them visit the doctors and go to the hospitals and go to the emergency rooms and get hooked up to IVs and that type of thing.
Okay. All right. So as a guy in your position, if one day you were watching the playoffs and you looked down and saw two of your players checking out their cell phone, what would you do?
Oh, man. We've had this discussion a lot internally. And that's just completely unacceptable. That would be embarrassing to the entire franchise, and that's sending a bad message to all the fans that are watching, and, you know, you're focused on the game. You know, a little bit of it is just the generational thing here. Obviously, we have these types of issues. But, I mean, I try to tell guys to turn their phones off the second they get to the arena. You know, just give us 3 hours, no phone. It doesn't seem that hard, but it does seem pretty hard to the kids these days. And so I don't like their attention to that. I wish they'd be watching the film and preparing for the game and preparing for their opponents a little bit more than looking at their, whatever they're looking at, social media. But we need to do a better job of that, I think, as an organization and try to change that culture as well. I don't think that there's just one team in the league that has those issues, although I have never seen that on the court. I did hear of a team that actually had players leave the bench early, starters leave the bench early to go check their phones before the game was over, because the starters had the game under control, and they just left the bench and went back in the locker room and checked their phones.
What team was that?
I can't tell. I just heard this from a friend of mine who's a general manager, and he was like wondering what to do about it.
Jeez. Oh, well, what would you do?
It's not like if they made more money, maybe they would not.
Right.
Well, okay, because believe it or not, what you're saying right now is becoming a completely old school attitude, because in the NFL, you're hearing about these coaches that are giving players cell phone breaks.
Like Sarkeesian.
Because it's come such a thing where they're almost addicted to their phones that he thinks it will help them play better. But what's your opinion of coaches doing something along those lines where you take time out in order to give them their cell phones for a minute?
Well, I mean, you know, in a day of football, there's a lot of requirements. Our days are shorter. I mean, we basically are asking for a couple hours a day. you know, just to get away from your phones. We're not asking for 6 or 8 hours a day to be away from them. And so I think that it's reasonable for them to keep their phones at a distance while you're working.
You could be like Kevin Garnett did reportedly, and take the guy's phone and throw it in the toilet. Didn't he do that when he was went back home?
That was I thought it was Carl Anthony Towns. He
was that who
too.
It was?
No, I thought it was Levine.
Well, you might know. Have you heard that story, Danny?
I heard the story, yeah. I haven't verified that story, but I did hear about that. And that absolutely sounds like something KG would do.
did KG get pissed when people ate the food before the players did? That's another story that Kendrick Perkins told this week.
Yeah, KG had a lot of little things that would bother him, and he was funny. I thought he was really entertaining. I got a kick out of KG. He always had something, but yeah, he had these little things, and if the staff was eating the food before the players had a chance to get in there and eat it, then he would let them know that's the players' food.
All right. Well, that's what makes a leader. Danny Ainge.
Picking on the little man.
That's right.
Take that phone and flush it. Danny Ainge, thank you so much for the time and continued success. We look forward to talking to you again.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you.
There you go.
Was it one of the guys on the bench, Amir Johnson?
It was Amir Johnson's phone. It was Amir Johnson and Joel Embiid.
Danny knows very well.
Yeah. I mean, it was Amir Johnson. If you didn't see it, the 76ers game, it was the first game, a game they were losing, and they ended up losing the game. But at that point, they were losing. And they showed on NBA TV or on TNT, it was Doris Burke who was talking about it, where Amir Johnson is holding the phone kind of secretly behind, like next to his leg, and he's looking down, and Joel Embiid is right next to him, and they're both looking down at a text. Now, later on, Joel Embiid was asked about it, and he said that it was texting, Amir Johnson was texting his very sick daughter, which I'll take his word for it, but me thinks that was like they immediately left the bench, walked in, and there was a meeting of like, dude, you're getting killed right now by everyone on social media that you guys were looking at your phone. Also, I think there's a substantial fine. You could get suspended, but they're not going to suspend someone.
I would have suspended him. I would have suspended Embiid for the game just for the future, of the franchise.
Yeah, that's such a bad look.
I would sacrifice the series because they were down 0-1. I would suspend Embiid for a game.
You make a great point because you don't suspend Embiid, but you suspend Amir Johnson because he's not going to play anyway.
Well, then I'd suspend him for the series and I'd suspend Embiid for a game. I would.
You can't.
But you can.
You can't suspend Embiid.
He's going to be on the team. I mean, you got to at some point go.
Should they have? Yes. To set a precedent, and it's old school versus new school, whatever.
Yeah, but Johnny, they call reality, me old school.
You had an out. It was Amir Johnson's phone. Your out was suspend Amir Johnson.
You can't suspend Embiid for a game.
You save a
little
bit.
Especially if you're
face.
Down 1-0, you can't.
I would have. But that just makes me.
Freddie basketball.
No.
Satin jacket.
Freddie drill sergeant.
Danny's right, though. And that weirds me out every time I hear about these football coaches saying we got to have a break in practice so you guys can check their cell phone.
Yeah. I could go without my phone for a day.
You know what?
I can't.
When I was on vacation one day, I was like, I'm just going to turn off my phone and I'm not going to use it for, I think it was like the 6 or 7 hours that I was out. And you do find yourself reaching for it. Like you find yourself like if there's like you're on an elevator or if you're by yourself and just kind of walking around, it's a habit. However, there's something kind of refreshing once you reach in and realize that it's off because, like, oh, I got to wait to turn it on. Just keep it in there.
So in Turks and Caicos, I left it in the room all day, and it made me read 2 books. Like, I did not miss it. I have 1,000 flaws, but I really could go a long time without a phone. But I need it, you know, for you know, using the phone. But in terms of looking at stuff, I could go a day without it. It'd probably be better for me, too, everyone insulting me.
But that's why you got off Twitter.
I know, but now I look at Twitter sometimes, and I see all the insults.
Really?
They didn't like my Mark Gemelli voice.
Really?
See, I think it's all right.
Delete the app, Fred. Delete it.
I don't have the app.
Well, you said you look at Twitter.
I do.
No, he goes out of his. That's going out of your way. If you don't have the app,
so you go on
and
the
you
website,
still search and find it.
Don't do that. Just don't
do
it.
Sometimes,
it's a pain in the ass to go to the website.
I don't feel good about myself.
Exactly. That's why you shouldn't do it.
How do I get home?
It's like, stop punching yourself. I can't. My jaw hurts. Well, that's why you should stop punching yourself. You feel bad about yourself. That's why I have to go on Twitter. Well, there's not going to be, but somebody send Fred something nice, but not to his account because he doesn't check it. No. At Toucher and Rich.
Say this
Fred
is my account.
Okay. Okay, all right.
It's locked. I've made no post, and I have zero followers. This is it. And it came up right away on my phone. I swear to God, that's my, except for...
It's B. Arthur makes me horny 12.
Shut up. Dude, don't, the cat's out of the bag. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich.
You want to hear some nice things about yourself, Fred?
Yeah.
Listeners have come through.
Can they see my head and the condition, that my skin condition now that I have? It's incurable, by the way. Go ahead.
First, somebody just posted a video of you walking in like Vince McMahon. And it says Fred getting on Twitter to check the haters.
Yeah, that was when I was thinner.
Dan Roach tweets. Yeah,
you knew Dan would come to the rescue here.
He's got to.
He put, Fred, deep down, is a good, good man. Although he swims in a sea of negativity on the surface, his quick wit and strange quirks make me smile and laugh every day. There you go. He's so nice about you, Fred.
Backhanded.
Someone tweeted a picture of Jim Gray pointing his finger and says, I know Fred. Freddie T is my favorite person on the Sports Hub and the number one reason I listen to the show.
Oh, that's from a burner.
Fred, your interviews with Danny Ainge are exceptional. Hashtag make Fred happy again.
Well, my interviews with Danny Ainge where I make two comments.
Maybe that's a snide comment, a jab at you.
Yes, really. I would imagine.
Someone said, I'd rather have a beer with Fred than anyone else in the show. Trust me, it has nothing to do with making me look 10 times better.
Hashtag these are all. I have a feeling that some of these are not designed for me to feel better. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much for taking the effort.
There you go. Someone said, Fred, now stop being a masochist and just download the damn app.
I honestly just did it today. And I don't know why. And Rich was right. You do need Twitter. Like, I've said it a million times. The only reason I don't use my Twitter account is because I'm going to get in trouble. And everyone gets in trouble.
You're going to tweet something outright.
Because I have no self-control. So I showed Rich my Twitter. I have zero followers. I have zero tweets. And it's locked. But I follow it to get news.
Yeah.
Because you do need it.
Well, it just makes it easy. It's like having your own, instead of going to a bunch of different websites, yes. I mean, the news comes to you.
Great invention for that aspect.
And by the way, because what I found when I wasn't using it is that now, sometimes it's only on Twitter. Like, they don't even write an article about it.
Yeah, I mean, when news breaks, and you have guys like Adrian Wojnarowski, or even someone like Adam Schefter,
Adam Schefter, Woj, I mean, follow any of the TSN guys on Twitter for hockey. I mean, it's worth it.
Well, now it's gotten to the point where articles that are written will just copy and paste tweets, and they'll say, this is what so-and-so said when they broke the news. And instead of having to go through that entire article, you just have it right there on Twitter. Also, you can follow our show, and you can see awesome tweets, not only what's coming up next on the Touch and Rich show, but cool ones such as, woohoo, Paul Pierce, you rule, like back in the day, or even last night, you might have even gotten a pasta.
Listen, you're engaging with the fans.
I'm a woohoo Twitter guy come playoff time.
Nothing wrong with that. You're sharing an experience with the people.
Mm-hmm.
See, you put woohoo, and then I would put something terrible, and then I'd end up getting in a fight with someone, and then I would get fired.
Someone said, Fred is good at being a mean boss.
by the way, I ain't mean anymore to anybody. And second of all, Mark Jamelli, Nick's dad, knows I'm right.
I wasn't upset with them. I was upset that you quit.
And by the way, me and Rich telling Bird that he has a loser mentality when he just caved in and said he lost the bid is sound advice. That's not being mean.
Yeah, all of a sudden, are we the Michigan State coach? Are we Tom Izzo? Are we getting Izzo'd here?
Yeah.
So he's throwing us under the bus for some tough love, trying to inspire him?
Yeah. I mean, what Izzo did was unacceptable. There's no. What I liked was the comments. There's never any reason to yell. I yell at my kids, and I feel awful afterwards. Okay, like, hey, you just hit your sister in the face. Let's talk. All right. What do you got there, Rich?
All right. So this was a video that was released. Should we break and then come back and play this? Because this is pretty good.
Okay, let's break, and we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
He won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you could have a superpower, what would that one superpower be?
Man.
Like a time machine.
Being invisible.
Is this time machine count?
Yeah, let's do it. We could build a time machine right here.
If I could just be like, I want to be in Florida right now, and then, boom, I'm in Florida.
That'd be more like a transporter. Like,
yeah, is that a superpower?
All right. I would assume that is a superpower. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're a Toucher and Rich. And that, of course, is the great Scott Zola. That is the great Rob Gronkowski, who is retired and is enjoying his life. He was at the Bruins game waving the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be having a good time.
Living a good life, man.
Must be. And now it's got to be nice. Like, he doesn't have to do anything he don't want to do.
No. And I remember back when they had the big ceremony for the Red Sox, somebody tweeted a photo of Rob Gronkowski when he came out in the field with one of the Lombardi trophies, and someone had zoomed in and said, is that a dent in the Lombardi trophy? I thought nothing of it at the time. And now this video was released by the Patriots yesterday. And this is the tale of how that dent got on Lombardi, on that Lombardi trophy, the day of the Red Sox ring ceremony.
We were there to celebrate our Super Bowl victory.
Some of the guys were going to throw.
I mean, that's who better to narrate than Matthew Slater?
Yes, the Super Bowl
victory.
Victory.
To celebrate.
This is one way of saying it.
There was streamers and party hats.
We were there to celebrate our Super Bowl victory.
Some of the guys were going to throw out the first pitch. Jules was warming up. Gronkowski got him a pitch in.
He broke it. He brought it.
And it was all fun and games until it wasn't.
A lot of interesting things happened.
Gronk thought of a great idea. He'd play around and get a swing. And as he's lined up, Jules is the pitcher. Gronk standing there, and I think we're all under the impression. I mean, no way is he going to swing a Lombardi trophy.
A little strange. We're thinking he's not going to swing the bat. He's not going to do it. And literally, at the last second, when 11 throws the ball, we see 87 go from a batting position to a bunt.
Probably not ideal.
The ideal gas law. Probably not ideal.
Probably not ideal.
Eye roll.
Probably not ideal.
Matthew Slater, I'm using a 10-ounce beaker for this Bunsen burner instead of a 15-ounce. What do you think about that?
Probably not ideal.
Okay.
I don't have a scalpel, but here I am. I have to dissect this frog.
Probably not ideal.
All right. Slater, you are its nerd. There is no doubt about it.
First of all, How unbelievable is that? So that clack that you heard, and I think they play it one more time, Rob Gronkowski takes the Lombardi with the football end of it at the, like, farther away from him, holds on to it, and they toss him a ball, a baseball, and he swings, or he doesn't swing, he holds it like a bunt, but the ball is thrown hard enough, and it goes, and sure enough, there's a big-ass dent in the football part of the Lombardi.
Yeah, he's got to be loaded. I mean, at that point, he's just got to be loaded.
Or just he's Gronk, and he's the only human being. Can you think of any other player outside of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski that could get away with that with the Lombardi trophy?
Okay, I will say this. I think
that everyone would smile and go, oh, it's just Gronk.
I think that when you have the Lombardi trophy, that there's probably... Okay, now Scott's in my ear. But if you have the Lombardi trophy, you can get a little away with a little bit more.
Not denting it.
I don't know. People screw with the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, five other ones. Oh. What the hell?
By the way, they show at the end of this video all the Lombardis lined up, and it is so blatant when they get to the final one, it has this giant-ass dent in it. Like, it's not a joke how big.
Can you get
a
replacement?
Why do they want it? At that point, it's kind of like...
I'm just wondering. If Kraft is... Well, Kraft's got other things on his mind. I suppose...
I mean, you could ask, but I mean...
Probably not ideal.
Yeah, that's true.
Metals, to say the least. Don't you know that form of metal is very malleable?
And by the way, Rob Gronkowski's reaction after he bunts with it isn't, oh, I did it. It's,
yeah, what does he care?
Jump around with his friends.
Yeah, what does he care?
He's not coming back, right?
No, even if he was, what are they going to do to him? What, are you fine him? I mean, what are you going to do? Make another one.
Get a stern talking to.
I mean, just go make another one. I mean, who cares?
Yeah, Gronkowski's parting gift.
Sometimes things happen.
If anybody could do it.
That volcano you made just erupted some sort of lava.
If anybody...
Sometimes things happen.
And its content's got all over my skin.
Hey. Probably not ideal.
Hey, Slater, you and your friend wore bras in your head and made a woman on the computer.
Sometimes things happen.
She came out very flat-chested.
Probably not ideal.
The best thing about Weird Science is they had to explain why she was flat-chested.
Well, I mean, just that was part of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony Hall just like, no. Don't want it.
Hey, listen, Slater, we heard that you put a camera in the sorority house. You and Booger.
Sometimes things happen.
All right, half our audience is saying, what are these references?
And now you're being brought up on rape charges.
Probably not ideal.
Because that's essentially what Revenge of the Nerds was. Like, that was just like, you can't get away with the stuff they got into.
No, Robert Carradine, indeed, tricked a woman into thinking she was with her boyfriend. And her reaction was she was in bliss. And also putting a camera in a woman's sorority where they were changing. Seems like you might get in a bit of hot water. All right, I don't even care about the Super Bowl trophy. Slater's just a king.
Well, that's why, of course, one of the reasons we're playing this.
If anybody could do it and get away with it, it'd be Mr. Gronkowski himself. He has now left an everlasting mark so that people will never forget that he was a part of that championship team.
The trophy is special, not damaged. Now it has become vintage, is what I'll say.
That sound. And by the way, apparently the Patriots have come out and said that they intend to keep the dent and tell the story.
Well, there you go.
Probably not ideal.
Not ideal at all.
No.
All right. When we come back from the break, we told you about how yesterday at the House of Blues, there were a lot of people who were freaking out in the streets that the rapper Kodak Black did not show up. As a matter of fact, there was two shows he was supposed to do, like a 5:31 and a 9 o'clock one, and there was speculation that he was at the Celtics game instead. Yeah. We now have what really happened.
Yeah, and he wishes he was at the Celtics game. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
We're Tutcher and Rich. And Rich, there was disappointment at the House of Blues last night.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird story that developed in different directions, and it kind of went one way or the other. So the original report out was that right around the end of the Red Sox game, there were a bunch of people in the streets at Lansdowne, and they said that there was a scuffle, that two people had been injured, and then it just turned into, no, it was a bunch of angry people who had been kicked out of the House of Blues because there were supposed to be two concerts yesterday, like a 5:30 and a 9 o'clock concert for Kodak Black, rapper, and he didn't show up. And he canceled his show. People were already inside, according to reports. And then they said, sorry, he's not going to be here. And that's when the people out in the street started going nuts. And here were all the videos on WorldStar. So that's basically that over and over and over again. A ton of beeps. Everyone was saying F Kodak. And to that, one of the opening artists was rolling down his tour bus, which is out front, filming them and laughing. However, the rumor originally was that he was at a Celtics game. It looks like now he was not. According to TMZ, it says it's now very clear why Kodak Black canceled his show in Boston. I don't think he canceled. I think the show was canceled. The rapper was arrested on weapons and drug charges at the U.S. border. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ that Kodak and three other people were stopped by the U.S. Customs Agency Wednesday. We're told Kodak was arrested for criminal possession of a weapon, a second-degree felony, and misdemeanor possession of marijuana charge. I find that interesting because it's legal in Canada. And it depends on where they were going into. I guess
I don't think you can bring it into the country.
You're probably right. Multiple sources familiar with the arrest tell us Kodak was traveling with at least two guns and stopped when entering the U.S. from Canada. He's still in custody being held on $20,000 cash bond or $40,000 bond. They said Kodak Black was serious, canceled that concert last minute, pissing off a ton of fans in the process. And his team said that the location and reasons for his cancellation was indeed this. So there you go. He had been pulled over and was in jail at the time. Still being held. $20,000 cash bond or a $40,000 bond. So there you go. If you were at the Kodak Black show, what were you doing going to a 5:30 rap concert anyway?
I have no idea who can go to that. I mean, that's legitimately for like high school kids.
Yeah, like 5:30?
With curfews.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that seems like an odd time for a show.
Yeah, that does seem very strange. So, by the way, also, let's see. I've got the Patriots. They now have a results. I think this was Burt Breer who tweeted this yesterday. We now know about Demaryius Thomas's contract, and it's exactly what we all thought it was going to be. As Burt phrased it, it's a lot of we'll see type parameters. So we got $150,000 to sign. Okay. $150,000 reporting bonus.
Okay, so we're up to $300,000.
$300,000. A $1.2 million base.
Okay.
Okay. So we would basically say that that is right now the cost of doing business.
Okay.
That is $1.5 million we're looking at.
Yep.
And then it goes $1.406 million for per game rosters. So it just depends on how many games he plays. I think if there's like a certain amount that he's played that he gets that.
Okay.
I don't know how they define that, but usually in the past it's been if they play more than like 8 or 9 games, they get this bonus. $750,000 for 60 catches.
No.
$750,000 for 800 yards.
No.
$750,000 for 1,000 yards.
Hell no.
And $750,000 for 1,200 yards.
Maybe in two seasons he can get that. Is that out over 2 years if he gets it? 1,200?
They should have made the bonus like $1 billion.
It's a one-year deal, but it sounds to me that the most he's probably going to get is close to $3
million. Yeah. That's if he makes it through the whole year.
Yeah.
And isn't cut in camp.
And if they sign him and cut him at, see, I don't think they have to, they don't have to give him the base, do they? If they cut him at camp? Yeah. No. So if they cut him at camp, that's $300,000 that they're in the hole for.
There you go.
Yeah, why not take that? Why not do that?
Because he's a soft receiver that ultimately will drop many balls thrown to him in traffic.
He's never had Brady throw to him.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think it matters who Brady throws it to him.
Brady might throw it to him once and then give up.
Yeah, he'll get the Galloway stare like so many before him, saying, get off my football field. You don't know what you're doing. I need someone out here. Give me... This will be the ultimate insult. Give me Philip Dorsett. I want Philip Dorsett out here instead of Demaryius Thomas.
Yep. Well, gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I got a little bit of bachelor life ahead of me.
Hey, nice.
Now.
Got 2 days without the wife and little ones.
And everyone who visits Fred, wear gloves.
It's a no-pants Thursday at the house?
It's always a no-pants Thursday.
I think it's all nude all the time at this point. Doesn't really matter, does it?
No, I don't walk around naked.
Oh. I mean, you could if you wanted to.
I could do it if I wanted to anytime.
Oh, okay.
I mean, my kids have seen me naked. It's not like a big deal. I mean, you know, if they're in the room, well, what am I going to do? Like, I'm taking a shower and put a towel around me? Please. Please.
This is a tradition passed down from father to son.
So, honestly, are you just not going to, you're not going to go out tonight?
No, I'm going to go out tonight.
Okay. Like a bar?
Yeah. I'm going to drink.
Yeah. That was my favorite thing to do, was just go by myself to a bar at a restaurant.
Isn't that funny that I would rather go to myself by myself, too?
It's great. No. It is going out to wherever you want to go and eating whatever you want to eat and sitting at a bar for as long as you want to is one of the things that gets – you don't realize how amazing it is until you actually have a family. And then when you do that, it's like – and I know this is such an according to Jim moment, but it's true. It's like you just go to a bar and you don't have to check your watch or check in with anyone, and you can stay there as long as you want.
Yep. Unfortunately, I have to get up in the morning, but yes. And then swinging the sticks on Friday there, Johnny boy.
I'm jealous. Good for you.
Playing with the guy who's club champ.
You learn a few things.
No, annoy a few people.
That's all right. You can suck as long as you go quick.
Is it Trump? He's got 18 club championships. Oh, no, that's right. You got the Rick Riley book.
You purchased a Rick Riley book?
No, it was sent to me by Mr. Riley.
We were offered Rick Riley.
Oh, why didn't you take him?
Because I had to think of an angle. Because he sucks. No one likes Rick Riley.
You'd have to have him in studio to really kind of get the whole thing.
He's going to be on the Sports Hub Golf Club. I took him.
Oh, nice. Oh, you did okay. Too. Okay.
Good. The book is fantastic. It's really good.
Trump.
I have to tell him before we start talking, I'm like, look, full disclosure, there used to be a guy who worked on our morning show here who took a bunch of your tweets and went to a stand-up comedy night and read them, and it was really funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, and it was a disaster. You have to tell him it was a disaster.
It was really funny.
Yeah. Oh,
for ways that would not upset. It was very funny because your jokes are so awful.
I don't. Why do you have to include that last part?
Just be like, when did you lose your fastball?
When did you stop caring?
Did you ever have one?
Well, when he wrote in the back of Sports Illustrated, he was a good writer. He was fine.
The book that he wrote on Trump playing golf is very good.
That's part of the reason we didn't have him on. It's because I had a feeling that would be pretty good.
It's pretty good. I'll loan it to you.
All right, Rich, have a nice long
weekend. Thank you. I will see you guys on Monday.
All right. Bob Saget in for the whole 8 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Nice. Saget's back.
I get to meet him. Yay.
He's been here like 800
and
times.
And I've never been here. Ted Johnson will be in studio as well.
Shared a moment.
Yeah, Sarge and he's been here like twice.
Yep. I think he's been here one time I wasn't here. All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.